Carla has been listening to me preach stewardship type sermons for, I think, 13, 14 years now. She said that I seem to be getting more and more comfortable as the years go by, and I decided that it's because I'm really clear for myself now that all of our stewardship together is by our choice. It's not that Peter, the preacher, is trying to make sure he can raise his salary. It's that if I'm committed to each of your spiritual lives, then I need to be able to speak into your spiritual life when it comes to stewardship. I think, and here's where I come from. If you just start at the very beginning of the scripture, it says God created everything, and it was good. If we just use that as our basic foundation, it changes the way we look at stewardship. If all is God's, and all that we have is a gift to us from God, and we are stewards while we are here of that creation of God, and that we're created in God's image, then giving back to God reminds us all that we are stewards, not owners of this place, that we're temporarily making our way through. When I was in elementary school, and I don't know whether it's the same for you, we'll have to check. In elementary school, we all stayed in the same class the entire day. Did you stay in the same class the entire day? And did you have your own desk the whole time? You put all your stuff. Ours were not the kind of come up and down. Those are dangerous. They'll fall down on your finger. So we had those wooden top metal cubby type thing, and if you couldn't find your book in the very back, you know, short little arm stuck in, or you tilted it up till you could find your pencil. Did you have a desk like that? It turns out that by the end of the year, it came time to be promoted into a new class. They moved me, and they didn't let me take my desk with me. How many of you got to take your desk with you? Oh. It felt like my desk when I was there. If anybody touched my stuff, there was something, you know, some debt to be paid. I didn't want folks around my desk. I didn't want folks taking my. I was afraid my pencils would be gone, and all of a sudden, in the middle of class, I wouldn't be able to find something to write with, and I would fall behind. I think that our life is a bit like that desk, that we don't get to take it all and claim it all as our own. It's somebody else's that's lending it to us for a short time. We used the phrase last week, you can't take it with you. Well, this is the Sunday where that starts to ring deeper and more true as we think about our stewardship, how we caretake what we are able to deal with when we're here, but our days are of owning our houses and et cetera are kind of numbered. I have this great desire to sing the Zacchaeus song. When you read that story or hear that story, does your brain do that? Wee little man and a wee little... Sorry, you guys can think about that for the rest of the day. It's a story that's easy to tell and it's easy to remember, but it's a little challenging to hear because in one sense we are all Zacchaeus, and because it's a story about the connection between our salvation and our money. Zacchaeus' story underscores the deep reality that salvation is not merely a spiritual experience that prepares us for life after death, but salvation is the way God transforms every area of our life so that we become a part of God's saving work in the world. Let me say that again. Zacchaeus' story underscores the deep reality that salvation is not merely a spiritual experience that prepares us for life after death. Salvation is the way God transforms every area of life so that we can become part of God's saving work in the world. Salvation changes our hearts by changing the fundamental orientation of our living, including the way we use our money. Salvation sets us free from bondage to narrow self-interest and opens our lives to the way the Spirit of God can work through us into the lives of others. Salvation is about a lot more than money, but we can also say that it's never about anything less than money, particularly in our culture that is compulsive. You know, it writes much easier than it says, compulsively driven by the power of money. In our culture, money has such awesome power as a blessing or a curse, as a gracious gift we manage for God's sake, or as a demonic tyrant that manages us for its own sake. The story of the widow's mite teaches us that what matters is not the size of the gift, but the impact. Now remember, women had no standing. Widows had no source of income. They were just at the mercy of the community. When a man died, the husband died, the land went to the son. She was out. She has nothing. And so the widow has nothing to hold on to except what she gives away. Every gift makes a difference in the ministry of the church. The spiritual impact is that our giving has become part of God's work of transformation in our hearts and the lives of others. We give and we serve and we love because we're aware of God's great love. Let's see if I can pull this off. All right, I want to show, can we show the video? We're going to show a video. Some of you may have seen this before if you watch the right kind of TV.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
How's your leg?
Very good. Thanks for asking. Come on in.
Oh, good. Penny, you're here to exchange gifts. You'll be pleased to know I'm prepared for whatever you have to offer.
Okay, here.
I should note, I'm having some digestive distress. So if I excuse myself abruptly, don't be alarmed. Oh. A napkin.
Turn it over.
To Sheldon, live long and prosper, Leonard Nimoy.
He came into the restaurant. Sorry, the napkin's dirty. He wiped his mouth with it.
Possess the DNA of Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah, I guess, but look, he signed it.
Do you realize what this means? All I need is a healthy ovum and I can grow my own Leonard Nimoy.
Giving you is the napkin, Sheldon.
Be right back.
Sheldon, what did you do?
I know. It's not enough, is it? Here. It's a Saturnalia miracle.
Do you watch Big Bang? How many of you watch Big Bang? So you understand some of that? Is anybody confused about what was going on? Sheldon is like the nerdiest dude and won't touch anything. I mean, he's like afraid of germs from everybody. And he has this scientific approach to gift giving. He figures the whole deal is that culturally you've got to figure out what the other person's going to give you, so that you can have something of absolutely equal value as part of your just absolute perfect mathematical exchange. I mean, to the point where if somebody buys an extra card, he's handing his friends money. Instead, here's $4.25 for the card. And so he has gone out ahead of time, and he has tried to figure out how he can scale depending on what she bought him. He was very disappointed someone was buying him a present. Because, oh no, he's now got to think through what that means in his life for giving something back. And so he goes to that one of those stores that will sell you baskets and baskets, and he bought one of every denomination so that he could have gastro distress and he could go back in the back room, find the one that's priced right, and bring it back out. So it was all about equal payment. But what you see is that his knees shake and he about falls over as he realizes this immense joy of this perceived as very simple gift is given. And his response is, I know it's not enough. He brings out everything he had gathered and tried to give everything away. It's a little bit like Zacchaeus and the widow's mite showing up to give it all back. The folks behind the scenes at the show said when they saw the script that said he was going to get a hug, that it made folks cry because his character never does that. And so it was a big deal for him to touch anyone. And so when he gives the hug, that's the best expression of joy and gratitude that he can provide. I would love it if we could look at the difference God makes in our life and the cross makes in our life and what the impact the church has in the world, and we could figure out how to, I don't know what to do. You're just so overwhelmed with joy. And I think that's what the stories of Zacchaeus and the widow's mite are supposed to call us to. But I think often we lose sight of the fact because we're so used to, I've earned it, it's mine, I deserve it. Which is part of our culture. It's part of the Western culture and Western civilization. And how do we back up enough to realize that what we have, what's on earth today, is not because you made things happen on earth, but if it weren't for God's gifts to the world, nothing. Not a single invention, not a single earned dollar. It all starts with God. And I think that's the awareness that we're called to have. And part of the dynamic in Genesis is, look, God doesn't need cash from us. What God needs is us to be in relationship. And giving God cash on a regular basis, sometimes such that we means we can't do everything we've ever wanted and dreamed about in our own lives, is that it reminds us once again whose we are. Every time I give, I want it to be out of that kind of generosity. Not because the preacher did this and somehow or another figured out how to make me feel like I had to give. I want it to be about your relationship with God. The reason I am more comfortable this year talking about stewardship is because I carry a burden for your spiritual life. And I think that stewardship is part of that. I think coming to worship is part of that. I think serving in our community and giving to missions and doing things that are using your gifts in service of God in your vocation and in our church, all of those are pieces to a healthy spiritual life. Giving is part of a healthy spiritual life. And so my comfortableness with saying we've got to find a way to connect to God and see God in our stuff and our resources in a way that reminds us whose it is and whose we are. There are lots of different ways that you can give to the church, and I want to mention a few that you guys probably don't think about just because this is the perfect opportunity to do this. Besides the normal put it in the plate, you should know that there are some folks who offer their offerings via their banks and in direct deposits to the church, and so they never put something in the plate, and they feel bad because they don't have something to put in the plate. Don't feel bad. Sign up for that. It makes our life much, much easier. We know it's coming. The finance committee loves the fact that some folks do that. It really shouldn't be about the show of putting something in the plate. And I know some churches that don't pass plates anymore. They just have them at the exit. So as you're leaving, you make sure you put your offering in the plates. When you give stuff to the boutique, if you give decent stuff to the boutique, you're giving to the church. Because every dime they make comes into our budget. So another way to give is to give stuff to the boutique. Right now, they're more than willing to take all the jewelry you're willing to give up. Because at the fashion show, they sell lots of jewelry. And so if we give now, they'll get to price it enough that it will get a very successful fashion show jewelry sale. I don't know what to tell you about that. I don't have any jewelry to give up. But if you've got some that you've not worn or you've got legacy stuff, we gave a lot of my mom's old jewelry, the stuff that Carla won't wear. It will be on sale at the fashion show this year. Let's see, what else did I want to mention? If you go buy stuff at the boutique, you're giving to the church. When you serve at the fashion the boutique, you are, in essence, helping us raise money for our budget. Amazon Smile. We just figured out how to get all of the hoops jumped through so that if you shop, anybody shop on Amazon? If you go to smile.amazon.com, and we'll send out instructions. If you go to smile.amazon.com before you purchase and you have assigned us as your charity donation, then we get 0.5% of what you spend on Amazon. And so we're going to make lots of money this year from Peter. We were trying to get it done before Christmas because we knew we'd get a pretty good influence in. But we're trying to make sure that in our weekly emails and some other places that we're putting those instructions. If you have trouble with that, call us. We'll figure out how to help you with that. Amazon Smile, boutique, online giving, putting money in the plate. And the last one I want to make sure I mention is, or let me mention these in combination. There are a number of folks who give out of their retirement account straight to the church so they don't have a tax liability. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, some of you understand. If you understand what I'm saying, then you know what that it's of great value. If you've put money into retirement, when you take it out, you get taxed differently, right? On what you've earned. You don't have that tax hit if you give straight from your retirement to the church. So in December, some folks make these transfers to the church so that they get the higher benefit and less tax hit, and we get the great benefit. So that's an option. The other thing I want you to consider is if you've not finished your will and you want to do estate planning and put some stuff into the endowment fund or scholarships for young people or to missions or whatever it is that your heart desires, we bring that in and we put those things to play. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we have perpetual pledges that our church brings in about $40,000 a year in just interest. For the rest of the lifetime of the world finances, there's going to be about that much money coming into the church because of folks giving in their estates. Can you think of anything else? Anybody else got a suggestion for how to give money to the church? Because I'm willing to let everybody talk about that. There are times when folks want to compare giving to the church like they do their taxes, and you figure out how to minimize your impact as much. When I do my taxes, I try to give as little as possible away. And I don't use that same philosophy when I'm figuring out my tithe. I don't want it to be out of guilt or out of a sense of duty, but out of that kind of joy that we saw in the video clip. For me, giving is about joy and commitment. Extravagant generosity is a sign of a healthy spiritual connection to God and a healthy walk of faith. We've talked about earning and saving and giving. And today is the day where we're going to make some decisions. Commitment Sunday is the day for each person to make a decision. Zacchaeus had to decide to come down from the tree. The widow had to decide to put her gift in the offering. Now it's the time for us, each of us, to decide and respond to God's extravagant generosity by joyfully and boldly making our commitment. Jack, can you play just a little bit while we sit and have a time for folks to bring them? I want you to know that some folks gave their commitment cards already. And so everybody who's given it so far, even if they mailed it in, is in a packet we wanted to put in here so we could bless it together. And Zach's going to play a little bit, whatever he decides he wants to play, and we're going to give you an opportunity during worship to come up and put your commitment cards in the basket. If you need a commitment card, raise your hand. The ushers in the back have extras. If you are still thinking about it during this time, and when we start back into worship, if during the final hymn you want to come up, we'll bless it right after the final hymn. All right? Jack? Jack?